بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge and benefit us with the knowledge we have acquired. Ameen. Insha'Allah ta'ala, in our lesson tonight, we'll try to explain the rest of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the 99 names that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to in the hadith as whoever memorizes them and understands the meaning will be admitted into paradise. The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are uncountable, as the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are uncountable. However, these 99 names have a special merit that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to. And the greatest name out of all the 99 names is the name Allah. That's the greatest name of Allah. In Arabic, Ismullah al-A'zam, Allah. Because as you can see, we say Allah is al-Karim, Allah is al-Rahim, Allah is al-Qadir. We attribute the rest of the names to the name Allah. You do not say amongst the names of al-Karim is Allah, amongst the name of al-Rahim is Allah. No, you say amongst the names of Allah is al-Karim, is al-Rahim. So the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah. And it means the one who is attributed with Godhood, which is the power to create, that is to bring things from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. We'll continue insha'Allah explaining these perfect names. We are up to the name Al-Muntaqim. Al-Muntaqim, amongst the perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means the one who inflicts punishment upon whomever he willed amongst the transgressors, the unjust ones. And Allah is the most wise and the most just. So by inflicting punishment upon those who deserve that type of punishment, that wouldn't be classified as injustice from Allah. Because Allah punishes the sinners by His justice. As Allah rewards the believers, the righteous ones, by His grace. So when the believers go to paradise on the day for judgment, they go to paradise by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. When the non-believers go to hellfire on the day for judgment, and some sinners will be tortured in hellfire as well on the day for judgment, this is by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicts punishment, and severe punishment in some cases, and more than other punishments, because not all the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are of the same level. Some punishment is more severe than as a punishment. So whether it is like a punishment of this level or more severe level and so on, It's all by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, had Allah punished the inhabitants of the skies, who are the inhabitants of the skies? The angels. And they never disobey Allah. Had Allah punished the inhabitants of the skies and the inhabitants of the earth, including the prophets, including the righteous, he would have punished them without being unjust to them. Because Allah is their creator. Allah is their owner. And had Allah bestowed his mercy upon them, that would be by his grace. And his mercy would be better for them than their deeds. Would be better for them than their deeds. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear that when Allah bestows his mercy upon us, it's not an obligation upon Allah to bestow his mercy upon us. It's by the grace of Allah azza wa jal that he bestows his mercy upon us. There is nothing that is an obligation upon Allah azza wa jal towards his slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of the universe, is the owner of everything. So those who are rewarded by Allah, those are the prophets, the pious, the righteous, and other believers, will be rewarded by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. And those who will be punished by the justice of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah is Al-Muntaqim. As Allah said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٌ. Allah is the all-powerful. And Allah is the one who inflicts punishment on whomever he will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Allah is al-afu. So now you learned about al-muntaqim, the one who inflicts punishment upon whomever he will, amongst the sinners, the transgressors, by his wisdom and by his justice. Now you learn about al-afu. Al-afu is the one who forgives the sins and will pardon the sinner by his grace and by his benevolence. Because once a person commits a sin and he does not repent from it, if he dies while committing these sins without repentance, Islamically, and logically, he deserves to be punished. But although he is worthy of punishment because he had committed sins and did not repent, and that's in the Islamic convention. Whoever dies as a major sinner without repentance, he deserves to be punished. And we mentioned that even if all the human beings and the angels and the jinn were to be tortured by Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah wouldn't be unjust to them because Allah is their creator and their owner. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that whoever dies as a major sinner without repentance, he might be tortured and he might be forgiven and pardoned. So some of those will be punished by the justice of Allah, and some will be forgiven by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So although this person is worthy of being punished because of what he did, despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive him. So this is the meaning of al-afu. Allah forgives his sins and will pardon him, so he won't be punished on the day of judgment, although he was worthy of being punished. Allah Ta'ala said, "Inna Allah la'afuun ghafoor." Also amongst the names of Allah is Ar-Ra'uf. And Ar-Ra'uf means the one with abundant mercy. So this is a name that has richness of meanings of mercy in it, Ar-Ra'uf, the one with abundance of mercy. And here we need to point out to something very important. When we say Allah is Ar-Ra'uf, Ar-Rahim, so we're talking about the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. The mercy of Allah does not mean a feeling, does not mean an emotion. Rather, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal means the willing to forgive, willing to bestow His mercy upon His slaves if it's in this life. A person might be in a calamity and Allah bestows His mercy upon him. So we say Allah rahimahu, bestowed His mercy upon him. So here, when we attribute mercy to Allah Azza wa Jal, not in the context of feeling and emotion, rather it means the will of Allah to have mercy upon this person. That's the meaning of it. Also, Allah is Malikul Mulk. Malikul Mulk, to Him returns the dominion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to some of the slaves in this world. Allah gives a restricted dominion, meaning control over certain people in this life or a certain region for some of the slaves, and it's restricted, so it's not absolute dominance over them, meaning they have a kind of control over them, but it's restricted. On the day for judgment, now this will be for a certain period of time, but then it will be withdrawn from them. Those who would have a kind of control in this life, they have dominion over a kingdom, for instance, like a king, and he has dominion, control over his kingdom. It will last for a period of time, but it's not forever. That's why some tyrant ones in the past were given a kind of dominion in this life, like the Pharaoh of Egypt. He had a dominion for hundreds of years. So he was a non-believer. Also, Allah gave a kind of dominion to Dhul-Qarnayn, who was a righteous Muslim. And he ruled from east to west. So Dhul-Qarnayn was a righteous Muslim and he ruled for 2,000 years. Then he passed away. So that dominion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give to a slave in this life won't last. Because this dominion is dominated by the dominion of Allah that does not perish and does not end. So the dominion of Allah, that is His attribute, His dominance, His control, that will not perish, because that's an attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal that will remain. And the dominion of Allah, the dominance, dominates the dominion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give to a slave in this life. That's the meaning of Malik al-Mulk. Allah controls that dominance that He gives to some of the slaves, because their dominion or their dominance, as we mentioned, is restricted. It's not forever and is restricted. It is controlled by the dominion of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's the meaning of the verse, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. Say, O Allah, You are the one that controls the dominions of those whom You bestow dominion upon in this life. You give it to whomever You willed, and You take it away from whomever You willed. So Allah is the one who gives that dominion in this life for some of the slaves and doesn't give it to others. Allah does whatever He wills. So Malikul Mulk, Allah is the one who controls the dominion that he might give to one of the slaves in this life. It's controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say Allah is Malikul Mulk, Al-Mulk here, Malikul Mulk. So literally would be translated as the owner of the dominion. Now the dominion here is in reference to the dominion that Allah might give to a slave in this life. So this is not the same dominion we are referring to in the ayah explained by Al-Bukhari. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ He said, إِلَّا مُلْكَهُ Except for his dominion. Because here the dominion, Al-Mulk, is in reference to the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning the dominion of Allah, the dominance, the control of Allah does not perish. It's an attribute. Eternal and everlasting attribute that does not perish. That's the dominion of Allah Azza wa Jal. But the dominion that Allah might give to the slaves is temporary, for a period of time, it won't last forever, and it is restricted. It is restricted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some of the angels a certain kind of dominion as well. You know, there is an angel in charge of wind. So he controls the wind. He is stronger than they and the like. But sometimes it comes out of his hand, like the wind by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of Ad, mentioned in the Quran. That wind was not controlled by the angel. And that wind used to carry the person from the people of Ad, the non-believers, who opposed Prophet Hud alayhi salam, would carry one of them in the air, then will hit him against the ground, back to the earth, with his head separated from his body. So that wind was not controlled by the angel. There is an angel in charge of rain. He controls the rain. That's Mikael. He controls the rain. But the rain that came down during the flood, during Prophet Noah's time, like mountains, was not controlled by the angel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a kind of dominion to some of the creations, but that dominion is what is limited. It's limited, it's not absolute, it's limited. So the dominion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might give to a slave is owned, controlled, and dominated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. Dhul Jalal means Allah is worthy of being exalted. That's Dhul Jalal, is worthy of being exalted and won't be denied and disbelieved in. So Allah is worthy of being exalted and not denied and not disbelieved in, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator. Wal ikram, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who honors the righteous slaves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them in the hereafter with success in the hereafter, and they will have a complete illuminance of light on the day of judgment. So the righteous ones in this life will be rewarded. Allah will honor them. Allah will honor them. Allah will reward them. Those ones will be rewarded and honored on the day of judgment. They will have success and they will have complete illuminance of light. Those are the righteous ones. So Allah is Dhul Jalal, the one worthy of being exalted and not denied and not disbelieved in. Wal Ikram, Allah is one who honors and rewards the righteous believers in the hereafter with success and complete illuminance on the day of judgment. Allah Ta'ala said, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Also Allah is Al-Muqsit. It means Allah is just. in his judgment. So whether a person is rewarded or punished, that's justice from Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah is ever just. So whether Allah rewards a slave or punishes a slave, Allah is always just. Whether Allah gives you money and deprives others from money, Allah is always just. Allah gives some people health and Allah deprives others from the good health. Because we are all owned by Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, is the true owner of this whole universe, of all the creations. Allah created them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just in his judgment and is clear of injustice. And Allah is not questioned about what he had willed. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for it to happen, it shall happen. Whatever Allah did not will for it to happen, it shall not happen. And we do not object to Allah's will. If you have this meaning engraved in your heart, if you have that meaning engraved in your heart, you will live your life with peace. You won't be tiring yourself comparing your life with other people's life. You might look at yourself and see, oh, I'm deprived from this, that one had more than me, and so on. Why you want to compare yourself with that person in this way? Had you dug deep enough in yourself, you would have found many endowments that Allah bestowed upon you that Allah did not give others. So that's why in the worldly matters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam urged us and guided us to look at the one who is above us or below us, more disadvantaged in this life. More disadvantaged in this life. In the worldly matters. In the religion, you look at the one who is higher than you, so you can get motivated to follow his steps. You, let us say you attend one class, you see others attending five classes. So that will motivate you to do more of the good deeds. But in the worldly matters, you do not look at those who are better than you, worldly wise. No, you don't look at that. You look at those who are less than you, meaning more disadvantaged, if you consider yourself disadvantaged. But anyway, many people are living these days a life that is better than the lives of the kings in the past. So there are many endowments we are living in. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the just in his judgment and is clear of injustice. And Allah is not questioned about what he willed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to make all the human beings believers. Is able to make all the human beings healthy. All the human beings in the same look. All the human beings have the same amount of wealth. Allah is able to do this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a test, trial in this life. You look at someone, because now as a son of Adam in most cases, and that's how he's described, that's the nature of the son of Adam, is to be greedy, excluding the prophets and the righteous Muslims. The nature of a normal human being is that he is greedy. And as a prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that if he were to be given a valley of gold, he would ask about the other valley. He's given a valley of gold, yeah, but he still, his eyes are on the other valley. So he's not content with the valley that he has. But what we need to do in this life, we know that Allah for a wisdom made people different. So in the way you are, in the way you are, if you work hard for the hereafter, in obeying Allah, performing the obligations, it doesn't matter what background you came from. It doesn't matter how tall, how short, how fat or skinny you are, it doesn't matter how much money you have in this life, it doesn't matter how your health is. So don't look at all these things, think about obeying Allah. So the more you obey Allah Azza wa Jal, the more good deeds you perform in this life, that will raise you in ranks in the hereafter. So a person might be very healthy and wealthy, but he might be at the bottom of hellfire. And a person who is skinny and weak, that people might not regard in any way, this person might be in the highest levels of paradise. In the highest levels of paradise. That's why it was mentioned that subhanAllah, one of the righteous Muslims in the past passed by a slave who was very weak, slave owned by a master, but he was very weak. His master had other slaves as well. Then that righteous Muslim looked at him and he saw that this person is special. He realized him very obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. He is pious, he is righteous. Then he went to the master and he said to him, I want to buy one of your slaves. Then that one said to him, of course, I have these ones. And he showed him his best ones, the healthy, the strong, and the like. He said, no, there is one more. That's what I'm looking at. I want to buy that one. Then that person said, no, I won't sell him to you. This is my blessings. This person is very blessed and I won't sell you that person. Then this person, righteous Muslim, insisted that I want to buy him. And they were talking about this, trying to find a solution, and that slave was listening to them. Then in the end he agreed. He sold him. Then this righteous Muslim took that slave and he was walking with him with politeness. Then that slave said, oh master, why did you take me? I'm weak. I cannot serve you. I cannot look after you. I'm very weak. Then that righteous Muslim said to him, I did not buy you so you can serve me. Rather, I bought you so I can serve you. Then that slave raised his hands and he said, oh Allah, I kept this secret for so long. And now since my secret is exposed, I ask you to take my soul out. And he died instantly. He was a very righteous Muslim. So the matter is not by, you know, how people look at others in this life. It's by your deeds. Also, Allah is Al-Jami', the one who will gather the creations on a day that there is no doubt in its upcoming. That's the day for judgment. The day for judgment will surely come. So Al-Jami', the one who gathers them after resurrection on that day, the day for judgment, which will come without any doubt. Also, Allah is Al-Ghani. Al-Ghani, when in reference to Allah, means the one who does not need the creations, and all the creations are in need of Him. Now, the word Al-Ghani and Al-Faqir, literally, a person might understand from these two words, Al-Ghani, rich, Al-Faqir, poor. That's the literal meaning, and the commonly used context for these two words. However, when in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal, when you say Allah is Al-Ghani, it means the one who does not need the creations, and all the creations are in need of Him. That's the meaning of it. Allah Ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ. Allah doesn't need us, and we are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. We need Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in everything. Also, Allah is Al-Mughni. Al-Mughni It means the one who provided the creations with the necessary needs and provided them with the sustenance they need. So Allah is the one who provides the creations with the necessary needs. So whenever there is a need, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides them with what they need. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the sustenance reach His slaves. So that's the meaning of Al-Mughni. Also Allah is Al-Mani', the one who deprives whomever He willed amongst His slaves with whatever He willed. That's why once you know that Allah is Al-Mani', Allah gives and Allah deprives. You find a couple that had been married for a long time and they don't have children. You find another couple who had many children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and takes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deprives some and gives others. We accept what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. Also Allah is Ad-Darrun Nafi'. Two perfect names of Allah Azza wa Jal. It means Allah is the one that has the power to make harm reach whomever He willed and make benefit reach whomever He willed. So a person might be inflicted with a harm, the other might receive a benefit. So the creator of benefits and harms is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once as well you have, see how these names you can, once you learn their meanings, they can influence you in your daily life, in your religion. So once you know and you believe firmly in your heart, Allah is Ad-Darrun Nafi', meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of harm and benefit. So even if all those around you were to come together to harm you and Allah did not will for you to be harmed by them, they will never be able to. Even if all of those around you, the loved ones, were to come together trying to benefit you with something that Allah did not will for you to be benefited with, you will never be benefited by it. You will never be able to get that benefit. So Allah is the creator of benefit and harm. Also Allah is An-Nur. An-Nur, the one who guides, the one who guides whomever He willed. That's the meaning of An-Nur. Now An-Nur, which literally means light, but when in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal, it means the one who guides. So when you say Allah is An-Nur, you don't mean Allah is light. No, you say Allah is the one who guides whomever He willed to the path of faith, to the religion of Islam, to the light of faith. Allah is the one that guides. So Allah is the one who guided the inhabitants of the skies, who are the angels, and whomever He willed amongst the inhabitants of the earth, amongst the humans and jinn, to the light of faith. To the light of faith. Because the light of the faith of the believer is like a light in his heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran gave a very nice analogy between the light of the faith of the believer in his heart and the light of the lantern. But in what way? Allah ta'ala said, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the one who guided the inhabitants of the skies to the light of faith, and whomever he willed amongst the inhabitants of the earth to the light of faith. So that's the meaning of it, as explained by Ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the interpreter of the Quran. Then Allah said, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ, the example of the light of Iman, belief, proper belief, the light of the proper belief, the light of faith in the heart of the believer is like what? كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. Mishka is like, you know that small window in some old houses where they used to put the lantern in it? It might not be open from the outside, but it's just something in the wall, cavity in the wall, they make it, and they put the lantern in it. So the light of the faith in the heart of the believer is like that little window. In it, there is a lantern, and the lantern is inside a frame of glass. You know how they have the lantern, they put glass around it? Why they put glass around it? That gives more light. So take this crystal glass off it, it won't give the same light as with the glass. So the glass gives more light. So it's like a window. Inside the window there is lantern. The lantern is inside a crystal glass. That's where it is inside it. The glass also that contains the oil in it to light it up is very shiny and very bright. It's like a bright star. It's like a bright star. It's a very clean and crystal glass. يُقَدُ مِن شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. And this lantern, what is inside it to use as fuel to light it up, is that a pure oil extracted from olives and from the best region, لَا شَرْقِيَّةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَّةٍ, not from the east or the west, it's in the middle. That means that's the best quality of oil that you might find to light up the lantern with. يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٌ. The purity of its oil, as if it's given its own light. That's from the purity of the oil. So as if it's giving light without even lighting it up. So then in the end, it's Nurun ala Nur. So what's Nurun ala Nur? Now let's go back to the beginning. We have a window. Inside it there is lantern. The lantern is inside glass. It's like a box or whatever it's contained in, made of glass, very pure glass. The glass is very shiny, as if it's a shining star. Inside it, where they put the oil, is the purest oil you might find, extracted from the olive oil, and that's the best. So it seems like it's giving light even before you light it up. That's the purity of this oil. Then you light it up, so it's all light over light. This is the example of the light of the face of the believer in his heart. Then Allah said, يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That clarifies the meaning of it, of the beginning of the ayah. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ. Allah guides, literally it means to his light. But what's the meaning of his light? Light of faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this example for having the correct belief, having the correct faith, as having this light. But the one who doesn't have it is in dungeons of darkness. He is in dungeons of darkness. But the one who has the correct belief is like the one who's having this type of light. Allah is Al-Hadi, the one who bestows his guidance upon whomever he willed amongst his slaves. So you find someone sometimes who is close to knowledgeable people, but he does not follow them. You find someone who is very far away, and subhanAllah, somehow he will be guided. Somehow he will be guided. We've learned and we have experienced this, subhanAllah, that sometimes you see something strange is happening, and that will make you admit and profess and confess that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of guidance. Al-Hadi huwa Allah. Allah is the creator of guidance. Sometimes you try. You try your best. But that person might not accept from you. You leave him. You come after years. You see him in a very good situation. He's practicing. How did that happen? Then he might mention to you something. You say, subhanAllah, how it happened. So it's like means of ways were facilitated for this person to end up in this situation so he can be guided. So sometimes it happens in that way. The one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed guidance will be guided. And the one that Allah did not will guidance for will never be guided. So alhamdulillah, who guided us to the right path. This is a great endowment from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Al-Badi' amongst the names of Allah azza wa jal. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creations, brought them from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, not as per a previous example. And that means there were no creations before us in this way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, and Allah brought us into existence, and not based on a previous example. Allah is al-Baqi. It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his existence will not come to an end. And Allah will never perish, because the sound mind does not accept that the creator of the universe might perish. Allah Ta'ala said, وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, meaning Allah will never perish. So after the annihilation of the creations, when they perish, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will not perish. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ, everything on this earth and in the skies will perish. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, Allah will not perish. And Allah is al-Warith, meaning after the annihilation of the creations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain everlasting, because Allah does not change, and annihilation does not befit Allah Azza wa Jal logically. Intellectually, it's impossible for Allah, the creator of the universe, to annihilate or for his existence to come to an end. However, this world, because we know it had a beginning, so intellectually it's possible for it to end. But Allah, the creator of the universe, it's intellectually impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perish. So Allah is al-Warith. Also Allah is al-Rashid, meaning the one who guided the slaves to whatever benefits them in this life, whether it is from the matters of this life, the worldly matters, or the matters of the hereafter. And you look at how they started when Adam came down to earth. When Adam came down to earth, from paradise, he was with his wife, Eve. Just imagine there is no one else on earth. No houses. So see one, when I tell you now, look at the endowments Allah bestowed upon you. Imagine when Adam came down to earth with his wife. He was in paradise. No harm. No tiredness. No depression. Nothing from that. Extreme enjoyment. Ultimate enjoyment. In paradise, then he came down to earth. That was a hardship for Adam and his wife. He came down to earth. So he had to start everything from the beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him, and he taught his children, how to build houses, how to make clothes, how to do all that. And even he's the first one to make the coins for selling and buying. When Adam came down to earth, he already came knowing all the languages. And he taught his children. And he taught them many professions in this life. How to do this, how to do that. He taught them. So Adam was the first human being. And he was so beautiful, so handsome. More beautiful than, they said, red roses on white snow. So Adam was extremely handsome. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every prophet that Allah sent was handsome and had a nice voice. Then the Prophet said, and out of all of them, I'm the best one in look and voice. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The last one is as-sabur. As-sabur, you know how some people have wrong translation or they translate literally. When it comes to as-sabur, they might say the patient. Now, we don't say it the patient. As-sabur means the one who delays the punishment for those who commit sins in this life to a certain time. And sometimes it could be deferred to them to the hereafter, and they will be punished for them in the hereafter. And sometimes that delay will be to give that slave time to repent. Because if he repents from that sin will be wiped out. And he won't be punished for it in the hereafter. So Allah does not inflict punishment immediately after a slave commits a sin. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him time, delays the punishment to a certain day. Sometimes, as we mentioned, in this life to give him time to repent, and sometimes it could be to defer all of the punishment in the hereafter. However, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did say in the hadith that most of the sins, the punishment for most of the sins will be deferred to the hereafter. The punishment for most of the sins will be deferred to the hereafter, except for the sin of harming one's parents severely. Because this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inflict the punishment immediately on the person in this life. Meaning without being delayed, plus what is saved for him in the hereafter. So there is punishment in the hereafter, and he should be expecting a punishment in this life for the one who harms his parents severely. Some sins, yeah, the punishment will reach them in this life before the hereafter. But the case is most of the sins, the punishment for them will be deferred to the hereafter. And that's why you find some people committing sins in this life, and they keep doing it. They don't repent. Why? Because they are not inflicted with a punishment immediately. Allah delays. That's the meaning of as-sabur. Delays the punishment. Sometimes to the hereafter, and sometimes to a certain time in this life. So a person, maybe he might repent, and if he doesn't, then later on when he gets inflicted with a calamity, he will know. We mentioned to you about the person who used to swear at Allah Azza wa Jal every now and then, and he never used to stop. He used to swear at Allah Azza wa Jal frequently. Then what happened in the end? He had cancer in his tongue. And he died from the cancer. His face became extremely ugly. His tongue became swollen because he used to swear at Allah Azza wa Jal. Then he died. So not instantly after committing that sin he was inflicted with punishment. And that's the meaning of as-sabur. Allah delays. Some people might repent before it's too late and some might not. By this, brothers and sisters, we have concluded, alhamdulillah, talking about the 99 perfect names of Allah. And as we mentioned, those names have a specific merit that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referred to, because the names of Allah are countless. But these 99 names of Allah Azza wa Jal have a special merit. Whoever memorizes them and understands the meaning will be admitted into paradise. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, revise what you have taken, try to memorize them off by heart after knowing their meanings, and inshallah you will be given that good tiding from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah to grant us paradise and end our life as pious Muslims. Ameen. We say la ilaha illallah and make salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.